Welcome to Ad Bible, an audio daily devotion from the Ezra Project. Alan J. Huth shares a Bible passage with comments from over 35 years of his personal Bible reading journals and applies the Word of God to our daily lives.
Today we are in Romans chapter 3, one of these power chapters of Scripture. We're going to listen in to our guest reader, Craig Warner, Executive Director of the Gideons International, as he reads the 31 verses of Romans chapter 3.
Romans chapter 3. Then what advantage has the Jew? Or what is the value of circumcision? Much in every way. To begin with, the Jews were entrusted with the oracles of God. What if some were unfaithful? Does their faithlessness nullify the faithfulness of God? By no means. Let God be true, though every one were a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and prevail when you are judged. But if our unrighteousness serves to show the righteousness of God, what shall we say? That God is unrighteous to inflict wrath on us? I speak in a human way. By no means. For then how could God judge the world? But if through my lie God's truth abounds to his glory, why am I still being condemned as a sinner? And why not do evil that good may come? As some people slanderously charge us with saying, their condemnation is just. What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin, as it is written. None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave, they use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips, their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, in their paths are ruin and misery. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he has passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also, since God is one. He will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law.
In 2002, I read Romans 3 in two different days, part 1 and part 2. Let me summarize what I wrote in my journal concerning Romans 3. Jews were entrusted with the oracles of God. The Gideons are entrusted with the oracles of God today. Let God be found true, though every man be found a liar, verse 4. We don't sin to get grace, verse 8. We're all under sin, verse 9. None righteous, no, not one. No one seeks God. No one does good. There is not even one. No fear of God before their eyes. And then part 2, from Romans 3:20 to the end. The law is the definition of what is acceptable and what is not. It defines sin by saying do or don't do certain things. The law defines sin, and it is clear by its definition that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Justification is a gift of grace, according to verse 24. Man is justified not by works, but by faith in the giver of the gift of grace. In 2001, I read Romans chapter 3 in one day, and I wrote, God is God over all, not just Jews, but also Gentiles. There's none righteous, no, not one. We are all sinners, therefore need salvation and a Savior. In 2013, on Romans 3, I wrote, Jews were entrusted with the Word of God, according to verse 2. One unique blessing from God to Israel. God also remains faithful, though we may become unfaithful, according to verses 3 through 4. There is none righteous, no, not one, Jew or Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, verse 23. Sin is overcome not by the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, according to verse 22, and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, that's verse 24. As we go back through Scripture, we see God chose a family through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He started and created the nation of Israel. And one of the privileges of the nation of Israel, the Jews, was that they were entrusted with the oracles of God, the Word of God itself. That, according to this chapter, is one of the advantages of being Jewish. But have the Jews always been faithful to or with the Word of God? Probably not. But regardless of what men do with the Word of God is the Word of God. Verse 4 in this chapter says, Let God be true, though everyone were a liar. So God's Word, the oracles of God, the Word of God, is true, regardless of what men try to do to it or do to it. But then Paul makes a different argument. He says, What then, in verse 9? Are the Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. So though the Jews were entrusted with the Word of God, the oracles of God, it didn't give them a special place. Paul levels the playing field, as I said, by calling all of us, Jews and Gentiles, sinners. Paul then quotes something the Jews would be very familiar with, and that's the book of Psalms. So let's go there and see what he's quoting. He first quotes Psalm 14, verses 1 through 3. The fool says in his heart, There is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. Basically, the same thing is written in Psalm 53, verses 1 through 3. That says, The fool says in his heart, There is no God. They are corrupt, doing abominable iniquity. There is none who does good. God looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all fallen away. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good. Not even one. So it's almost word for word what's in Psalm 14 and Psalm 53. Paul summarizes this whole argument in verse 23 of this chapter, where he says, For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that principle is so very important to understand, and that's why I called this a power chapter of Scripture. Do you think people are basically good or basically evil? Oh, in our heart, we want to believe that people are basically good. But this chapter makes it very clear that there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none who does good. We're all caught up in this thing called sin. I guess one illustration of this is as a parent. As a parent, you've seen that you've never had to teach a child to do something wrong. It seems to come naturally. For example, you never had to teach a child to take a toy away from another child. You never had to teach your child to be selfish, but you always had to try to teach your child to share. And I don't believe any parent ever taught their child to lie. It just comes naturally, doesn't it? So if we think about those with a worldview, they might say, Oh, people are basically good and all we have to do is educate them and everything's going to be fine. but we go through Ad Bible so that we can get a biblical worldview. And Romans chapter 3 is very clear. There's none righteous, no, not one. No one does good, not even one. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Father, we're glad that Romans doesn't end here, that it's only chapter 3, and that you have a remedy for sin. You have a way of escape that we may endure our sinfulness. And we look forward to reading about it in the rest of Romans. Thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross at Calvary to pay the penalty for our sin so that we can be saved. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.